بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا. اللهم ربنا زدنا علما. And here we are continuing what we have started past few weeks to talk about the case of the message of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, the message of Islam, the message that have been conveyed by Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and the other messengers before him. We are here to talk about our Islam. We need to discuss and remind each other about this great deen of Islam. It's not the case of teaching, it's the case of reminding. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. ذَكِّرْ in Quran, it meant to remind. So what we are doing is just we are reminding ourselves. I'm reminding myself and reminding you about some important cases about our Islam. And we said we are talking about the hadith of Jibreel عليه السلام, because this hadith is very important hadith that contains the pillars of Islam and pillars of Iman and pillar of Ihsan plus the hour or the knowledge of the hour. We started to talk about the first pillar of Islam, which is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we discussed the meaning or the conditions of La ilaha illallah to be beneficial for the person who says it. Because just to say La ilaha illallah is not enough. Especially if you remember that the hypocrites in the time of Muhammad and so on, they say La ilaha illallah. So still, although they are saying it, it did not benefit them at all. In fact, they are in the bottom of the hellfire, na'udhu billah, في الدرك الأسفل من النار. Although they say La ilaha illallah in the morning and every time. Some of them were with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam time, they were praying with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were fasting with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were making hajj and umrah and jihad with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although they are in the bottom of the hellfire, na'udhu billah. Inna al-munafiqeena fi al-dark al-asfali min al-naq. Why? They were saying La ilaha illallah Muhammad rasulullah, but this was not enough for them. So to get the benefits of La ilaha illallah, we need the three conditions, as we have already said so many times. Just to remind myself and you, we must know, which is the first condition, we must know the meaning of La ilaha illallah, the true meaning of La ilaha illallah, which is none has the right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None has the right to be worshipped except Muhammad, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the major case or true meaning of La ilaha illallah. There are so many other wrong meanings we have discussed already and why they are wrong. The second condition to be beneficial of, or to get the benefit of La ilaha illallah, is to say it. To say it, then practice it also. So, knowing the meaning, practicing La ilaha illallah in the life. Because the mere theories are not enough. Just to know the theories of medicine or the theories of computer will not give you any good unless you practice it in your life. The third condition is to avoid or to be free of the contradictions of La ilaha illallah. And we said there are a lot of contradictions of La ilaha illallah, started with a shirk or polytheism, which was the worstest one and the greatest sin that ever has been a human being done it before, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in his hadith. And we said shirk actually is to associate a partner for Allah or with Allah. In what? In his lordship or in his worship or in his names and qualities. And we gave an example for those who fall into polytheism in the lordship side of Tawheed or monotheism is those people, or they are the people who say that the universe is created by some one other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the extremist Sufis, or like the Shia also. The Shiites, mostly, majority of Shiites, they believe that Ali ibn Abi Talib and his descending sons, they know the ghaib, the unseen world. Which is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah told us in his holy book, قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Allah is telling us in his holy book that no one at all knows the ghaib, the unseen world, except he subhanahu wa ta'ala. And rather say, Shia say, no. Also Ali ibn Abi Talib and his descendants. Subhanallah al-Azim. They are contradicting with the Quran clearly. And we gave an example of falling into polytheism in the uluhiyya side, which is the worship side. That Allahu musta'an, unbelievable how much it is. So many people in this time or nowadays, a'udhu billah, and before even, they are falling into the shirk in the side of uluhiyya, which is worshipping side of tawheed or monotheism. Nature equality is the same way. There's a lot of people also falling into it by saying that by rejecting the names of Allah or by twisting the meaning of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on. Again, we said also last time we met, we said that polytheism or shirk is divided into two types, major shirk and minor shirk. Major shirk is whatever has been talking about. Minor shirk is including two types. And I said, you know, just to avoid losing the track, I gave you the map, if you remember, to go along with the yani this parting the case of shirk. So major shirk is finished. Minor shirk is divided into two classes or two types: apparent, non-apparent. Apparent, we talked about last time, that it contains words or deeds. Words like swearing by someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Deeds like hanging an amulet or ta'weez, as we say. Of course, we said ta'weez also again, or amulet could be a major shirk also, if he thinks that it is protected by itself. Yani independently, it is by itself protecting the person, then he's become a major shirk. But if he believes that's only a reason, while it's not from Holy Quran and Sunnah, it is a minor shirk. And if it's from Quran and Sunnah, we said the clear say is to say that it is haram, because Quran and Sunnah, which is hanged on the chest or hand or in the car or in the house, probably will be insulted one way or another, especially if it's hanged on children. And you know, children, they go to dirty places, they may peek into this Quran or Sunnah which is hanged, or dua which is in their chest and so on. So to avoid insulting the Quran or Sunnah, we said it is haram to hang this amulet. So one more case, one more reason to say it is haram also, that a person who is hanging Quran or Sunnah or dua in his chest, he will never make dua or recite Quran. Say, Quran is there. Khalas, Quran is hanged there, no need to recite Quran. Quran, dua is there, no need to make dua. Which is a really dangerous case, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us clearly, ادعوني استجب لكم. وقال ربكم ادعوني استجب لكم. He did not tell us to hang amulets on our chest and forget him. He wants us to call him by our own tongue, not by the tongues of the others or by the writing. So we need to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every time, in every yani side of life. When we wake up, we call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with dua, you know it. When we go to salah, when we leave our houses, when we get into our houses, when we touch food, all of this, subhanAllah, the life of a Muslim is always remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before sleeping. Even before you go to bed with your wife, you have to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a certain dua. So our life is full with dua, full with dhikr, or remembering of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second side of the minor shirk is the non-apparent, which is majority in the riya side, riya or show-off. Show-off is to, as Muhammad Hassan explained in the hadith, يُحَسِّنُ صَلَاتَهُ لِمَا يَرَى مِن نَظَرِ رَجُلٍ. يعني a person stands for salah, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the two conditions we said before. Then when he sees somebody looking at him, then he makes salah more khushu', longer. Then he is falling into riya or show off. Also, in reciting Holy Quran, a person is reciting Holy Quran, say in the masjid, and somebody came in, he saw somebody, people are looking at him or listening to his recitation, he makes it better, because he wants people to applaud to him, to admire him. So actually this type of shirk is talking about the intentions and will. What is the intention inside? Because some of this riya actually is not a riya. And there is a very good example. In the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called for sadaqah. There were a lot of people who are poor who came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the masjid and told his sahaba to bring sadaqah. Nobody came because nobody had anything. People are poor at that time. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so angry and his face was changing. So one of the sahaba went home and he brought a heavy bag of food. Very heavy. In fact, it is too heavy to carry. And he brought it to Muhammad and gave it to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, he did this with intention that it is only for Allah sadaqah. Also, with intention to make people follow him. There's a hadith to say that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us in the hadith that a person who starts sunnah or some good thing and people follow him, he gets also same ajr of them to him also. Kabir of the ajr. So if someone teach people or do something that people will follow him in it, then he is what? Doing what? He's making a sunnah to people to follow him. Not a bid'ah or novelty, no. It is just he's bringing up a sunnah that nobody is doing it. Like somebody is doing witr. If you are in an area and nobody knows the witr, then you show people how to make witr and you pray in front of them to show them. Then this is not riya. This is teaching. In fact, salah itself, jama'ah. If we say, no, pray at home, because this will be riya, or will be show off, then nobody will pray in the masjid. While it's supposed to be in the masjid. Zakah also has to be announced and showed. Yani zakah, not like sadaqah, charity. Zakah, a person must bring it in front of the others to give it to the person who is taking it. Because this is a pillar of Islam, it should be shown. While sadaqah or charity should be given, nobody knows. That's the hadith says, if he gives with the right hand, the left hand should not know what the right hand has given. That's only in sadaqah, but not in zakah. Okay? So show off actually not always a minor shirk. It could be major shirk. And it could be minor shirk, it could be allowed or accepted. Like we talked about allowed and accepted. What about this riya or show off will be major shirk? That's mentioned in the holy book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. من كان يريد الحياة الدنيا وزينتها نوفي إليهم أعمالهم فيها وهم فيها لا يبخسون أولئك الذين ليس لهم في الآخرة إلا النار وحبط ما صنعوا فيها وباطل ما كانوا يعملون لا إله إلا الله. Those people who are doing these good deeds just because they want the people to applaud them or admire them, this is major shirk, not minor shirk. There is a rule, say, worship to take, or take to worship. Worship to take, or take to worship. Let's take this rule now, and implement it on the case of Hajj as an example. If someone takes he wants to worship, he wants to make Hajj, but he has no money, so he takes money from others to make Hajj, then he is having the ajr of Hajj. But if it's vice versa, he's making Hajj because he wants the money. It's a business now. He's not doing this for Allah, he's doing this for money. So suppose he goes to some rich people far away from Mecca, outside of Saudi Arabia or somewhere, he says, listen, I'll go for Hajj for your old father or your dead father. Give me 5,000 riyals, I'll make Hajj for you. So he takes the business. Maybe he goes to so many people also. For one Hajj, he takes 5 Hajj. It's a business, it's the money. So this guy is doing Hajj, yes, but he's doing Hajj for what? What's his last goal? Money. So this guy is falling into major shirk. And his Hajj is rejected. Same thing for a person who is teaching Quran. If a person is teaching Quran, and he's taking money, of course, because he cannot become a Quran teacher for children and have another job also. So his job is to teach people Quran. Now, we will ask ourselves, I will ask him now, why is he doing this? Why is he taking money? If he says that he's taking money because he wants to be free so he can teach Quran, then it's okay. But vice versa, if he is taking money, and that's his goal is to, he's worshipping Allah by teaching Quran, but his final goal is to take the money. So it's not the final goal is the ibadah or the worshipping, then he's falling to major shirk. and all his good deeds are in vain. Exactly as we said in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا نُوَفِّ إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ. All his good deeds, like kafirs. Kafirs, what do you think? There's no good kafirs. I mean, in life, they are doing good things, like they're giving charity and they're making hospitals and so on. There is. There are a lot of kafirs who are doing this. And Allah Ta'ala is just. Allah will give them their good deeds in their life. But in judgment day, no. أولئك الذين ليس لهم في الآخرة إلا النار. أعوذ بالله من النار. So in judgment day, they deserve only hellfire. What about their good deeds in life? What about their good things they have done in life? They have made schools for children, poor children. They make hospitals for the others. They make houses for the poor. What about this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the just. He will give them the reward for these things in their life. So when you go to the Kafirin area and you say it is a green and a lot of money and a lot of a fancy life, luxury, remember this point. Allah is giving them their good deeds in life. But in the judgment day, they deserve nothing but hellfire. While a Muslim in his life, he faced a lot of troubles. Because part of your life is to face troubles. You are no better than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He faced how many troubles? These troubles, as in the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ عَبْدًا ابْتَلَاهُ. If Allah loves one of his slaves, he will give him troubles in life. Subhanallah, why? To make him higher and higher in Jannah. To test his patience. Is he really doing this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? So if you receive troubles, tragedies in your life, remember that this is from Allah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. Because he wants to make your grade in Jannah higher and higher. He wants to erase your sins, your bad deeds with this test. As Allah tells us in the beginning of Surah Al-Ankabut, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, ألف لام ميم, أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون, ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم, فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين. So a test in here is a must for every Muslim. Every Muslim going to be tested in this life. But test is not the same level. The more Iman is strong, the stronger Iman is there, then the more testing is there. As Muhammad SAW told us in his hadith, أشد الناس بلاء الأنبياء. أشد الناس بلاء الأنبياء. يعني the most hard or the hardest test will be given to the messengers of Allah or the prophets of Allah. Why? Because they have higher iman, higher faith. So every, yani the more the person is having a stronger iman, the more he is having tests. What kind of tests? Could be tragedies in life, losing money, losing children, losing life, everything. Whatever you could imagine, it could be there. But when you remember this is qadr from Allah and Allah wants to test you, then you will say Alhamdulillah. How come a person says Alhamdulillah for a tragedy? Yes, that's what Muhammad told us. عجبي لأمر المؤمن إن أمره كله له خير. And the meaning of this, Muhammad is saying, I am amazed of the mu'min or believer. All of his events in his life are good for him. إن أصابته سرا شكر فكان خيرا له. And if he receives good things and he says Alhamdulillah and makes shukr for Allah Ta'ala, that's good for him. وإن أصابته ضراء صبر فكان خير له. And if he receives tragedy or trouble and he has patience, then this is also good for him. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. That the Muslim should be always saying Alhamdulillah, even for bad things, Alhamdulillah. Because you don't know what's behind this bad thing happening to you. Suppose losing a child, one of your children, or you're losing some of your money, or you're losing some of your health. Do you think this is bad for you? No. Believe me, this is good for you, some way or another, but it must be a patience in here and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this will make you higher in Jannah. At least this will erase your bad deeds or sins which happened before. So if something happens to a Muslim in his life, it's good for him. So the second class of the second second type of shirk is the non-apparent shirk. And we said it is to show something which is only for Allah and to show it to the others. As we said, a person who is praying, as Muhammad gave the example of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that a person is praying, salah, and when he saw others looking at him, he made it more khushu', and he made it longer sujood, longer recite. Why did he do this? Is it for Allah? Alhamdulillah. It's not riyah, it's not show off. But if he is doing this extra for the others, as Muhammad explained in the example, then he is losing. And losing the deed in here, or the action, we have to take a little bit of explanation to it. Scholars say, if the deed, if the ibadah, worshipping, is one package, like salah. Salah starts with what? Takbir. Ends with what? Taslim. If it's one package, show off comes in there and he does not push it away, he will lose the whole salah. Even if this show off comes in the tahiyyat, salah, salah is lost. That's if he does not push it away, of course. If he does not make jihad to push it away. But for some other things, like what? A person meets a poor person, poor man, and he takes out his wallet, he gives him 1 riyal. Sadaqah. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after he did this, he looked behind, he saw people looking at him. So he took 20 riyal. Now the 1 riyal was for Allah, so it's inshallah accepted. The 10 riyal is not accepted. 20 riyal is not accepted. Why? Because it's not for Allah. This package now, this is not one package. This 2 sadaqah is not one package. He has given 1 riyal alone, then he gave 20 riyal alone. So the first riyal is accepted inshallah, the 20 riyal are rejected. Because it's not for Allah. It lost the first condition, which is only for Allah, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first condition is lost. Same thing for recitation of Quran. A guy, mashallah, his recitation of Quran is fantastic, mashallah, his voice with Quran, mashallah. And he was sitting in the masjid reciting Quran for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking or aiming that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him. Fine, alhamdulillah, he recited maybe 20 ayahs. Then he noticed that people are looking at him. Then he made better voice, louder voice. He makes the recitation stronger or wider or whatever it is. Then what he is doing now is he is losing his good deeds. The first good deeds inshallah accepted because it's only for Allah. It's not one package. Salah started and finished. Start with takbir, with taslim, so it's one package. If riya comes in there and accepted, whole salah will be gone. But for this recitation, it's not one package. He recited 20 ayahs for Allah. Then he started to recite for the people, then he lost it. So the 20 ayahs are accepted inshallah and the rest are rejected. That's just the point for the case of the shirk which is non-apparent. Last point we need to talk about in the case of shirk, and we'll close inshallah, because I think we took so much talking about the case of shirk or polytheism, but it's important actually, because it is the major or the worst sin that human beings have done. Last point we're going to talk about tonight, which is the paper we have been given you, is the case of how did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warn his ummah from falling into shirk. How? With 3 cases. 3 cases, put them in mind. When you understand them and follow them, you will be saved inshallah from shirk. And you will save the others also inshallah. These 3 cases are exaggeration, okay, constructing buildings on graves, performing salah in the graveyard, which is underlined and bold-faced on your paper. طيب. Why are we saying this? Because clear hadith we have from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us about these cases. First case is the case of exaggeration. Actually, whoever was worshipped in this life other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was worshipped because of exaggeration. Ask yourself, those graves where people go to ask them instead of Allah, why are they receiving people like this much? Why people, so much people go to these graves? Why? Because some others before told them that this grave, if you go to this grave and have a touch of barakah of that grave, you will be safe from problems. You will be given rizq. You will have children. As we said before, a lady who cannot have a child, here in Saudi Arabia, 200 years ago or more, she used to go to a valley beside Al-Kharj. You know Al-Kharj? Huh? She used to go there and there's a valley full of palm trees, male palm trees. Male palm trees different than female palm trees, by the way. Maybe you didn't know it. This is in Saudi Arabia and some other Muslim countries, Sudan maybe. And, right? So she used to go there and hug that female, that male palm tree and say, give me a husband before the end of the year. This one, she cannot have a husband. Yeah, nobody wants to marry her. So she goes there and she asks this male palm tree to give her a husband. Subhanallah al-Azim. Who will give her? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. She should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead of that, she asks a tree. La ilaha illallah. Ask, what happened? Why did she do this? Because somebody came to her and said, oh, he exaggerated about this palm tree, that so many people went to that palm tree and they hugged that palm tree, and few days she had her husband. More exaggeration, more stories, people accepted that, these stories, then they started to do so. Ask yourself now about this grace. In any place in this Islamic world now, Badawi in Egypt, Ajmer, Mazar Sharif, Shah Jalal, so on. Ask yourself why people are going there. Ask them. He said, oh, you didn't know? Such and such person, he went to that grave, he was sick and he was dying, just one touch the grave, and he, mashallah, like a horse. La ilaha illallah. Ishhad. More stories. There is a book with 8 volumes, authored by some guy called Al-Sha'rani. 8 volumes, full with stories to say that these graves done this, these graves, this wali did this, this Khalandar Baba did. Subhanallah al-Azim. From where did he get this? Just exaggerating on these human beings, on these graves, on these trees, made the people really started to worship them instead of Allah Ta'ala or with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned his ummah clearly, and he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوْ إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوْ فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ الْغُلُوْ. Clear from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not to fall into ghulu. Ghulu is extreme. Exaggerating. Just exaggerate. Even in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us clearly in the hadith of Bukhari, لا تطروني كما أطرف النصارى ابن مريم. Do not overpraise me. Not the Christians overpraise Isa ibn Maryam. What happened actually to Isa ibn Maryam after he died and he was taken to the sky, as Allah told us subhanahu wa ta'ala? What happened is that the Christians started to overpraise him. Because the Jews said that أعوذ بالله Isa ibn Maryam is son of dirty lady. أعوذ بالله. So what the Christians did, they made a device curse and said, no, he is son of Allah. So this exaggeration on Isa alayhi salam made the people worship Isa instead of Allah ta'ala or with Allah. Now, look at these Muslims. When they do the same, almost the same thing, when they exaggerate in such and such grave, or such and such person, or such and such wall, or street, or tree, whatever. Strangely, you will find some Muslims, they worship rocks, trees, as we said about this palm tree, and so on. How come? A Muslim who said that Allah Muhammad Rasulullah, he come and fall in this strange thing? Yes, it's because of exaggerating. Now, if someone comes to you and tell you, oh, listen, there is a company, they pay a salary of 30,000 riyals. And he starts to give you exaggeration about the company. More. Allah, I'll go and see. Maybe it's true. So people start to go to that company. Why they are going to the company? Although this is impossible. It's impossible to find a company pays 50,000 riyals for a regular job. Because of exaggerating. People are exaggerating. More stories about that company, so people go to that company thinking that they will find this high salary. What about these cases of graves? They will tell you that such and such a grave, when somebody came to that grave and he took some barakah of that grave and he called him instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was saved from such and such and he was given such and such. And the other guy who did not go to the grave and he was underestimating the dead person in that grave, he had the problems of such and such and such and such. That's not only a regular talk, I have received it on my mobile. You receive SMS in your mobile telling you, if you say something, or if you go to that place, or if you do, you'll find this in your mobile sometime. Why? It's the case of exaggerating. So if we are saved from the case of exaggerating, This is one case that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned his ummah not to fall into. Second case is that he warned us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from constructing a building. By the way, these three cases is not shirk. These are major sins, but not shirk. But they are leading. It is a way to shirk. It leads to shirk. When we exaggerate in the beginning, it is haram. It is a major sin. But it is not a shirk. But within the time, more exaggeration comes, people will go and worship that exaggerated thing, or person, or grave. Constructing a building on the graves. What will happen? You remember the story that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, when he said when the shirk started in the people of Nuh. In the beginning, these five good people died in the same time almost. Waddan wa Suwa'an wa Yaghutha wa Ya'uqa wa Nasra. They died almost in the same time. And they made pictures of them to remember their worshipping. Later on, they made constructing on their building, on their grave, and then people started to worship these. But same thing for Muslims now. Ask yourself, when you go to some masjids in Muslim countries, you'll find there is a grave in the masjid, or beside the masjid, or behind the masjid, but in a nice place, nice room. Maybe the owner of the masjid who made the masjid, or built the masjid from his money, he said, leave this room for me when I die, put me in there, bury me in there. What will happen is this. In the beginning, the people know it, yes. No, they know this, a regular person, maybe he's a bad person. But later on, next generation, when they say people, when they ask themselves why this person was buried in this masjid, while the other Muslims are buried in the graveyard, there has to be something special about this person. Okay? This is one step. Second step later on, more generation comes to say, this guy has special case, that's why he's buried in the masjid, why don't we go and take barakah from him? Because he's a special person. He's a pious person. He maybe has a superpower. Maybe if we touch his soil and put it in our bodies, we'll be stronger. Stronger like a horse. Subhanallah al-Azim. Or if we cannot have children, if a lady cannot have children, she goes and just take one touch, and touch her body, next day she will be pregnant. La ilaha illallah. That is actually because of the case of constructing the building. Why this person is buried in here? Why the other in the graveyard? Why? Come this big question mark in here. You ask yourself. You will say, maybe he has something special. This problem of something special is the problem. Okay, this is the... And hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Abu al-Hayyaj al-Asadi, rahimahullah, he is from Tabi'een, said, Ali ibn Abi Talib told me, ألا أبعثك على ما بعثني عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا تدع صورة إلا طمستها ولا قبرا مشرفا إلا سويتها. The part we want to talk about is that Ali ibn Abi Talib was telling Abu al-Hayyaj al-Asadi that he will send him the same way that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم sent Ali ibn Abi Talib, that to cross every picture and to see every grave which is higher than usual and make it like the others. We're not talking about only higher graves, we're talking about buildings now. La ilaha illallah. And the other hadith also, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly told us not to build on the graves. Because he knew sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if we do so, this will lead us step by shaitan to worship these graves. As Allah told us subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Steps of shaitan, at least beast by beast until people worship. This is not extreme. It's not extreme in these cases. It is the case of Muhammad Hassan is warning us from them. So we have to be careful on them. Last case is performing prayer in the graveyard. Muhammad Hassan also warned us from performing prayer in the graveyard. Why? Why? Because one way or another, one day the people will start to ask the grace instead of Allah. Let's remember, we said once, that ziyarah, or to visit the graves, is three levels. Sunni ziyarah, that's done by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to go to the graveyard, to make dua, or call Allah for them. Ask Allah for them. Then the novelty ziyarah, or bid'i ziyarah, is to ask Allah beside them, or by them.
and by their high rank or by their good deeds and so on. This grave for dead people. And the third type, which is the polytheism ziyarah, shirki ziyarah, is to ask them instead of Allah or with Allah. Think of this, put it in mind, and see people when they go to the graveyard, what they do. There is only one prayer can be done in graveyard. What is it? Salatul janazah. If you could not make salat janazah on the dead person in the masjid, you reach the graveyard, the guy is already under his grave or beside his grave, you can make salatul janazah. And remember, salatul janazah has no ruku' or sujood, so it's not allowed in the graveyard. So put in mind that Muhammad also warned us from doing the or performing salah on the graveyard. Three cases Muhammad warned us not to do. We have to put in mind. Although they are not shirk themselves, but they will lead to it. So they are major sins, kabair. We have a time to talk about one case. Okay? Sheikh Amtiaz allowed us to... One more case to finish this subject. So next week, inshallah, we'll not talk about shirk. Inshallah, we'll finish. The last case is the case of burying Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now. When you talk to people, they say, listen, ya akhi, why are you talking about like this? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried in his masjid. Why you reject this? Why you say it is not allowed? Why you say it's haram? Why you are Wahhabi? What? Hold it. Take it easy. Ask yourself now, was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam buried in the masjid? Was he? No. Put this in mind. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died in the 11th year of the Hijrah, and he was buried in his room, Aisha's room, outside the masjid. Put this in mind. When Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina in Hijrah, he built that masjid, and he built few houses, few rooms in the left side of the masjid. And he used to live in these rooms, and he gets into the masjid from one door. When he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Bakr and Umar, all of them were buried in the Aisha's room. Outside. Huh? Where? Outside the masjid. In the year of 88 Hijriya, that's 77 years later. 77 years after the death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Walid ibn Abdul Malik, one of the Amawid Khalifa, he wanted to enlarge the masjid because there are more people to pray in it, so he made a mistake by including the rooms of our mothers, radiallahu anhu, in the masjid. Including Aisha's room where there's the three graves, the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr and Umar. So, if these people come to you and say, don't trust this, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was buried in his masjid, tell them, no. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not buried in his masjid. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was buried in the 11th of Hijrah year, he was buried in his room outside of the masjid. Put this in mind. So they cannot take this as a proof or a fact that they can't bury their dead people, pious people, good people into the masjid or beside the masjid. Easy and clear. So many people talk to them and say, yeah, Habibi, you are not, what are you talking about? Can't you see that the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the masjid? No. Up to now, the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not in the masjid. Where is it? It's in the room. And the room is in the masjid. But it's not in the masjid. You cannot say, because you cannot touch the grave, you cannot see it. It is in a room. It is already protected by four walls or three walls. So nobody can touch it. Nobody can. Some Muslims may make mistakes on that, yes, but still, we have to say it clearly that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not buried in the masjid. He was buried outside of the masjid. This is a very important case. We have to put it in mind because so many people will ask us and say, no. They always use this as a fact or use this as a proof to bury in the masjid. I think this is good enough for tonight, inshallah. If you have any questions before we close, I can hear you. Let Allah first. Huh? Yeah. Only if the jar of the amal, yani your brother is asking, riya, if it's going to destroy the deed or the amal which is done, and the good deed is done. As we said, we gave two types. If the amal is one package, like salah, starting with takbir, ihram, finished with salam, if riya gets in there and there's no, he did not try to push it away, then the whole salah will be destroyed. But if it's not one package, yani it can be divided. Like reciting Quran, he recites 20 ayahs without riya, this inshallah accepted. And then he recited 11 or 20 ayahs, but with riya, these are rejected. Same thing for 1 riyal and 20 riyals for sadaqah. So if they are not one package, then it's alright. Yani the amal or the ibadah worshipping in here is not one package. If it's one package, it's khalas, then. Okay.
How should we place the body in the maqbara? Is it a down the globe or is it different from different places?
The Sunni way of burying a Muslim or a Muslimah is to have the grave. Okay, there are two types of graves. Lahd grave, which is to make the deeper area in the front towards the Qibla, or in some other Muslim countries where they cannot make this, so they make it just inside, deeply down. Both ways a Muslim should be put, or a Muslimah should be put towards the Qibla, in his right side. Yes, he will be placed in the right side towards the Qibla. It depends on the country. Yani in here in Riyadh, we'll make it to the west. In Syria, they'll make it to the south. In Sudan, they'll make it to the east. They are going to the Qibla. Here is Salah.
So, first Qibla
face
should be first.
Yes. Face, whole body. Not only the face, whole body. The right side towards the Qibla.
Right side of the body.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Sheikh Muhammad Kareem, he's reminding us of Rabwa classes. Rabwa classes is actually the call and guidance office in Rabwa. They have a fantastic program or diploma or a course which is containing 5 levels. Each level is 1 semester. And I have been through this so many times, including some other girls in here. It is, mashallah, they are giving so many good knowledge. In Islam, in Tawheed, as an example, Monotheism, in Quran, recitation, in Arabic also, they teach Arabic, they teach also fiqh, they teach also hadith, they teach also da'wah, how to make da'wah, they teach also, seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so on. So if you have any chance, we are in it, because this is the second week, which is open, the registration is available. Admission is open now, if somebody wants to attend this course, which is very important, I really, admire. Meditation is what? No. If there is also, then kick it away. This should be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever comes, then he can accept it. يعني هذا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث من جاهد لتكون كلمة الله هي العليا يعني he is making jihad only to raise up لا إله إلا الله among the world. Then if he receives غليمة money or whatever it is later on, no problem. If they put him as a leader, if he gets fame, if he is becoming leader, these are comes later, this is not important, this is not his goal. So ريا or should be put always in the case of intentions and will. What is the intention? What is the word? What's the goal? If his goal is to raise up La ilaha illallah, if his intention is to make Islam spread, and he received money or received admiration from others, this is no problem. This is no problem. As Muhammad told us in the hadith, this and عاجلوا بشرى المؤمن. And if someone do good things for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then people admire him. Okay? It's no problem. Because this is some kind of a quick or an earlier bushra for the person. Umar? Black Surah Umar, you mean? Okay, Sheikh Mtiaz is mentioning the hadith which is by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us how really hard the case of Riya and how much it's spread that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is knowing whatever Muslims done, like he knows the walk of an ant on a black stone in a dark night. which is really, if you look at the mind, this hadith, we read this hadith and put it in mind, you will know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is known everything. So put in mind that it is dangerous as darkness and feet of an ant on a rock. So many people cannot understand it. So many people are falling into it, they don't know. So what should we do? We should really always say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika shay'an a'lamuh wa astaghfiruka lima a'lamuh. Yani you make an isti'adha to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to fall into shirk for what you know. And for what you don't know, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. That's an answer of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to one of the Sahaba when he said, what should I do? They told him to say this hadith. Yes, sir. We have a question here. Oh, sorry.
For wudu.
Huh? Can we? Would you leave this? We'll leave this a little bit because this is not a part of the. Okay. Yes, sir.
Those people that became Muslims in their lifetime only, not in generation. For instance, this Ajmer, etc. Those people they became famous in their lifetime, and people started just from the time going.
So this is under the case of exaggeration.
Not in generation. It is happening at the same time.
Okay.
They will be told.
This is worse problem. This is worse problem. This is even worse problem.
Yes.
If it's happening in their life or they, as soon as they die, this is even worse problem. And we're talking about the hidden problem, which is people think that if we're just putting the guy, the dead person into the one room of the masjid is no problem because this is just to, this guy is good, he built the masjid, so we put him in this room just because he's a good guy. But later on they will worship him. Now the problem is this, if they are worshipping him now or in his life, this is worse, even worse. This is even worse. This is even worse. Yes, brother. Yes, because there is a hadith in there. Yani, always put in mind. If we want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with any dua or any action, there should be a hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or ayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, we don't. Yani, that's why we have to differentiate between Nafati, Bid'ah, and Sunnah. That if this is done by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or told us, we are told by Muhammad to say it, then it is not Bid'ah, it is not Shirk. To say it, yani, to go to Medina to visit the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you can go and say, Assalamu alaikum ya Rasulullah. This is said by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or told by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba, how to make salam on him. Assalamu alaikum ya Rasulullah. This is Assalamu alaikum ya Abu Bakr, Assalamu alaikum ya Umar. But there is no weeping and touching the irons and this is not allowed in Islam. What's allowed is to come stand in front of the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Assalamu alaikum ya Rasul. The intention of visiting Medina is not the grave. Unfortunately, I told you in Urdu, they say ziyara, they mean ziyarat of the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is incorrect. The correct thing is that we are supposed to visit only the masjid of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then when we are in the masjid, we can go and visit the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make salam on him. But we do not travel just to visit the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No. And it's not part of Hajj, by the way. There's a weak hadith saying, من حج فلم يزرني فقد جفاني. This is not part of, this is wrong hadith, this is a very weak hadith, and it's not accepted. People say that if you make Hajj without visiting the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your Hajj is not complete. No, that's true. Who said so? Who said? This is a very weak hadith and it's not accepted. In fact, we are not allowed to travel to visit the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, so why we are here, you and I, is just to remember this and discuss. Any questions about us in the topic? Okay, JazakAllah khair, we should close now. We have taken enough time. JazakAllah khair. Thank you, Alhamdulillah. Tawakkal. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, barakah nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi.